and broken styrofoam cups as it went, rattling them against the pitted sides of abandoned cars shunted up to the curb. Weathering the corners off ancient buildings with bright-colored signs advertising various hetero and homosexual entertainments. Banging loose boards nailed over the windows of gutted stores defiled with skulls and crossbones and spray-painted graffiti identifying them as street gang hangouts. Keep out. Buckling a billboard atop a brownstone 2 blocks south, upon which a gaggle of grinning citizens gathered at the base of the Renaissance Center, near where its first suicide landed, urged me in letters a foot high to take another look at Detroit. The air was as bitter as a stiffed hooker and smelled of auto exhaust. I was prepared, when the match was jostled from my grip, to defend myself against the usual cluster of lean young blacks policing their turf, but was surprised when I swung around to find myself facing a well-fed Nordic type with gray eyes and blonde hair wisping out from beneath the fake fur rim of an Astrakhan-style hat. I was doubly surprised when, half a beat later, I recognized him. It wasn't mutual. Scarcely glancing at me, he muttered a terse apology and pushed past, heading south in stiff, hurried strides. I watched his retreating back for a long moment, then decisively snapped away my cigarette, which I had nearly bitten through upon collision, and began following him. It didn't look as if Gibson was coming out again today, and the coincidence of literally bumping into someone I had last seen 7 years ago in another hemisphere set my curiosity ticking. Wherever he was going, he was either already late or didn't want to be. Twice more he came close to running into pedestrians as he threaded his way through the sidewalk traffic, eyes skimming the street in search of a cab, and once he was forced to do a wild Charleston to keep from falling when he slipped on an icy patch. Not that the narrow escapes made him any more cautious. If anything, he stepped up his pace as if to make up for the lost time. I followed at what the spy novelists call a discreet distance, which means I almost broke my own neck trying to keep him in sight. I'd be younger now if he'd caught that cab. Then I would have lost him and gone home and maybe read about him in the papers later and sat there reminiscing for a few minutes, and that would have been the end of it. I was to wish that he had before much more time had passed, but there were no cabs in sight, and I'll always blame Checker for everything that happened afterward. I tailed him to Adelaide, scene of crusading reporter Jerry Buckley's gangland-style execution in 1930, where he finally spotted one of the yellow cabs and was stepping out to flag it down when a blue Nova that I hadn't noticed pulled over from Woodward's outside lane to box him in between 2 parked cars. He hesitated a moment, then, cursing, reversed directions and started to hasten around one of the cars, when a man on the passenger side of the offending vehicle climbed out and called his name. The nasal voice was pure Rhett Butler. At the sound of his name, my quarry stopped and turned. This gave the man who had been driving the Nova time to circle the parked car and approach him from behind. This one and his companion looked enough alike to be brothers, beefy and nose-heavy. They both wore dark suits beneath gray topcoats with black ties and slicked their longish dirty blonde hair back greaser style, the way a lot of them still do down south. The driver was larger and older, but aside from that, they could have been twins. A low conversation ensued, during which I stepped into a doorway, force of habit, and pretended to be using its shelter to fire up a fresh fag while I watched. As I did so, a young, well-dressed woman who happened to be passing turned to give me the evil eye. I got it going and grinned at her through the smoke. "Don't get the wrong impression," I said brightly. "It's marijuana." That didn't set any better with her. She kept moving. I wasn't able to hear what the three were saying, but it was pretty obvious by their tones and gestures that my old acquaintance was burned about something, and the others were trying to mollify him. After a few seconds,